Well, there's been a new survey done that shows nearly 6 in 10 public transit users in Canada say they feel less safe or somewhat less safe while commuting than they did a year ago. 35% of respondents who use public transit say they felt less safe. 23% feel somewhat less safe than a year ago. Now, in reacting to this news and some calls to strengthen some rules, Canada's Justice Minister says there's no quick or easy solutions for the recent surge of violence on transit and in the streets of Canadian cities. We know this is something that Edmonton has been trying to deal with now for quite some time. Now, since lifting of COVID restrictions, Edmonton has, in fact, one of the highest ridership recovery rates in the country. But, as I said, all you have to do is ride transit, go into the LRT stations to know there is much, much more to do. Edmonton City Councillor for Ward Dene, he has some ideas and has penned an op-ed in today's Edmonton Journal. Councillor Aaron Paquette, welcome back to the show. And he just disappeared. So we're going to get into this conversation. I think he just called back here. So, hi, Councillor Paquette.
Hi, I got disconnected right at the wrong or right time, depending on your point of view.
Oh, you got to love technology. Councillor, how are things? How are things on council, as you're heading into, as we're a month into this new year? What's front and center for you?
Oh, wow. Well, things on council are proceeding. We can say that. Front and center for me is the transit issue, safety. You know, this impacts, of course, downtown, but all of the city, and especially my ward as you go up the rail lines. Mm-hmm. And also just, one thing that Councillor Knack and I are really passionate about is increasing the snow and ice control budget. I know there's not really much of an appetite for that, trying to keep budgets in check, but boy, I personally think we need it.
Oh, I think budgets in check at any time are a very good thing, and I suspect there's a lot of taxpayers out there that would agree with that. Councillor Paquette, let's talk about transit. Let's talk about what's happening. You wrote an op-ed in the Edmonton Journal today, kind of taking a look at the issues here, and I have to say, I asked the police chief about this the other day when he was on the show. A friend of mine had posted the other day on Facebook a picture of one of the LRT stations. She was on her way to work and she was walking through, kind of one of the walkways, and there was people sleeping, there was people passed out, there was people openly using drugs. And she had said, and a number of people agreed with her, she said, it appears the city of Edmonton has given up, along with the city police. Do you believe that the city of Edmonton has given up trying to deal with this issue?
I agree that it looks like that. It looks like that to me. The fact is, though, that this city council hasn't. I don't think administration has. There seems to be a disconnect here. We have got bylaws that say open-air drug use is not allowed, that you can't use public facilities for sleeping and things like that. But those things are happening. The question that we have to ask is why. And one of the things that may be the case is that perhaps bylaw officers, maybe EPS constables, are a little bit reticent to take action. Maybe they just feel like there will be a social pushback on that. I don't know. But the fact is, people using drugs on the LRT, for example, is not safe for anyone, not even for the people doing the drugs.
No.
And so it's already not allowed. What I think we need to see is the enforcement on that. And, when people hear that, some people might say, you're just going to go and, strong arm people and kick people out who have nowhere else to go. We actually have a better approach than that, Jillian. People who are engaged in these activities, they can actually get the help they need. They're not just kicked out. They are connected with services who will take them to the facilities or the sites that they actually need to go to get the help they need. So no one is left high and dry here. It just needs to be enforced. And I guess I'm glad that we've got this chance to have the conversation, because if they needed a voice to say, hey, come on, please start enforcing this, here's that voice right now.
Well, and there's a lot of folks out there, Councillor, saying, okay, enough is enough. Yeah, get on it. Get enforcing. Let's do something about this, because it seems to be at an off-the-charts level. But you say, it's great that we can have this conversation about it. Does there have to be better communication, do you believe, from all levels of who's involved with this issue? Like, is there a communication breakdown if the bylaw officers are like, oh, I'm not sure what I can do, or what should I do, what can I do? On the communication front, what's going on?
Yeah, let's keep it black and white. And that is the bylaw. The bylaw says you can't do any of it. You can't even, Joanne, in the bylaw, you can't even engage in behavior that makes other people feel uncomfortable. That is an actionable offense. And so to me, at least as far as what the law says, there's no reason why we should be having these problems on transit, especially when there are safer and better options for everyone.
Okay, then. How do you fix it?
Well, things like this. Let's talk about it openly. Last week on Monday, I met with the city manager. That on Thursday, I met with our person in charge of transit safety. Today, I met with the person even higher up in the organization and repeated the same message.
What are they telling you, counselor?
What I've been assured is that there's going to be action taken. Mm-hmm. So I think that we will actually see a difference beginning. And I thought, could this be true? Is this all it takes? Is that you need a city councilor to say, yeah, you're allowed to do your job?
Yeah, maybe, I don't know. Does the squeaky wheel finally get the oil, or what is it? Whatever it is, rattling some.
Squeaky wheel gets the grease. Now, here's the problem about that is that I can squeak all we want, and we can start moving people around, but that's all we're doing. It's moving people around because there are actually underlying root causes.
Yes.
And people don't like to hear this, but here's the fact. It is way cheaper and more effective to address the causes of these problems than it is to hack away at the leaves, because the leaves are going to keep growing if you don't address the roots.
Yeah, you talk in your op-ed about the need for coordination from all levels of government to address the complex underlying issues of mental health, addictions, and housing. Are we making any headway on that front, do you believe?
Sorry, that was an exasperated sigh, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I hope so. Here's the fact. Okay, so if we had a military crisis in this country, would you expect Edmonton City Council to be the ones who take on that responsibility?
Of
course not. Because it is not our level of responsibility according to the three levels of government. The same thing applies to housing, homelessness, mental health, and addictions. And people, they say, oh, you're passing the buck. Oh, I wish we were passing the buck because we would stop. We would just do it. But it is not within our scope of responsibility or ability, just like the military wouldn't be. This one is provincial. Let us take care of potholes. Let us take care of the things that a municipality is supposed to be doing. We should not be spending hundreds of millions of dollars, which we are, on housing when you're already paying your income tax to the province for them to do it. You shouldn't have to pay your property tax for that.
When you take a look at the announcement that was made earlier this week about sheriffs being teamed up with Edmonton police officers in the downtown core to have a better presence, maybe to have, build some better relationships, give a feeling that the area is safer than maybe the perceived notion of what it is. Your thoughts?
Yeah. Any help we'll gladly accept. I mean, we just approved an additional 24 peace officers. Mm-hmm. And so, 12 from the province, that's nice. We'll take it. Absolutely. No complaints.
I got called out on Twitter yesterday. I was talking to the chief of the Alberta sheriffs about this, and there were some questions about whether or not Alberta sheriffs are trained to deal with the mental health aspect of the issues that Edmonton is facing. And I think there's, some people who would question whether EPS officers are equipped to deal with that as well. Do you have concerns on that front?
Well, hey, look, isn't it clear that we should have the right roles engaged in the right issues, the right professions dealing with the right problems? I think so. And so, yeah, it is a question. Are these the most appropriate approaches? But it goes back again. It's a circular argument, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Then let's get the right people dealing with the actual roots of the problem, so we're not asking people who aren't trained – to do a job that is then essentially becomes very difficult, if not impossible, for them to do the same way that someone who was trained would do it.
Councillor Aaron Paquette joining me this afternoon. Councillor Paquette, I think one of the things that, you know, I've heard quite often over the last year, couple of years, certainly after COVID, was one of the challenges that downtown cores right across North America are facing is that there's a lot of businesses, there's a lot of office space in these areas that don't have the people back in them because people are working hybrid models, they're working from home, all of that sort of thing. The challenge of getting people back downtown when they're maybe not working downtown anymore, that's a reality because I think when you have more people in an area, it gives people a better feeling as well. And I suspect the same thing is on transit, right? You know, the more people that you have on transit, it's probably going to feel maybe a little bit better. So what do you do on that front, right? Like, you can't push people to go back to the office towers. You can't push people to go on transit. But you know, how do you increase ridership? How do you get people down there if you, like, you can't strong arm them?
No. Here's the good news, is that Edmonton has the fastest recovery rate of all cities in Canada, and we're almost back to where we were pre-pandemic. So that's the good news. The thing is, people deserve and should have an expectation of a clean, safe, and efficient system. So that's what we have to work on. And let's be frank. If we don't have the mechanisms in place to deal with these addictions and mental health issues and houselessness issues, where it's just going to be pushing the problems around. Let me give you a quick example of the money savings. If someone gets into the justice system, there's that cost. If they have an amputation or something like that, they go to emergency, there's that cost. You put them in incarceration for a year. That's $100,000 a year plus. Yeah. If you help them get on a path that it's safe, they've got supportive housing, they've got a road to recovery, that's about $40,000 a year, up to $60,000. That is a massive financial savings. So it just makes sense.
So you're hoping that the province is paying attention and maybe
has read
your op-ed.
They should be paying attention, yeah. bleed money when you don't have to?
Well, and I'm saying paying attention as we're heading into, a budget, right?
Well, yeah, and this should be really the conversation. And the problem is, I think that we get stuck in these ideological arguments where people just dig their heels in on one way of looking at things. And boy, that doesn't serve anyone.
Yeah.
And you're a great example of that on your show. You invite a whole lot of perspectives, and maybe no one meets in the middle, but they take the best of what they got away. And that's what we should be doing. I mean, got to remember, politicians shouldn't be in service of their politics. They should be in service of the people.
In service of their politics. Well, that's it's one way of putting it, but I'm afraid that we certainly see that more and more these days all the time. Councillor Paquette, great talk to you again. It's been really great to catch up. Thank you for this.
Oh, thank you, and you're the best. Thank you so much.
Take care. Councillor Aaron Paquette joining us this afternoon, councillor for Ward Dene. You can check out his op-ed in today's Edmonton Journal. And again, you know, rattling the cages, trying to say, okay, you know what, this is not something that the city should be having to handle. The city shouldn't be having to put forward hundreds of thousands, if not millions of dollars, to deal with it when it's actually a provincial issue. The funding falls under the responsibility of the province. It just seems like we just kind of keep chasing our tail round and around and around, and sooner or later it has to stop.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his six-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his two-year-old at the rink. All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone, like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.